twice born. The eagle lands. After Cadmus and Harmonia departed on their travels, their son-in-law Pentheus reigned in Thebes. Cadmus and Harmonia's sons Polydorus and Delirius were too young to rule. In time, Polydorus would go on to reign in Thebes, and Delirius would rule over the kingdom that bore his name, Illyria, as we have already seen. Pentheus was not a strong king, but he was honest and did the best he could with the limited store of character and cunning on which he was able to call. While the city-state flourished well enough under him, he needed always to look over his shoulder to the children of Cadmus, his brothers and sisters-in-law, whose greed and ambition posed a constant threat. Even his wife, Agave, seemed contemptuous of him and anxious for him to fail. His youngest sister-in-law, Semele, was the only one with whom he felt at all at ease. In truth, because she was less worldly than her brothers, Polydorus and Illyrius, and nothing like as ambitious for wealth and position as her sisters Agave, Autonoe, and Ino. Semele was a beautiful, kindly, and generous girl, content with her life as a priestess at the great temple of Zeus. One day she sacrificed to Zeus a bull of especially impressive size and vigour. The offering complete, she took herself off to the river Asopus to wash the blood from her. It so happened that Zeus, in his favourite guise of an eagle, pleased with the sacrifice and intending anyway to look in on Thebes to see how the city prospered, was flying over the river at the time. The sight of Semele's naked body glistening in the water excited him hugely, and he landed, turning himself quickly back into his proper form. I say proper form, for when the gods chose to reveal themselves to humans, they presented themselves in a reduced, manageable guise that did not dazzle or overawe. Thus, the figure that stood by the riverbank, smiling at Semele, appeared human. Large, stunningly handsome, powerfully built, and possessed of an unusual radiance, but human all the same. Crossing her arms over her breasts, Semele called out, "Who are you? How dare you sneak up upon a priestess of Zeus?"
"A priestess of Zeus, are you?"
"I am. If you mean any harm to me, I will cry out to the king of the gods, and he will rush to my aid."
"You don't say so."
"You may be sure of it. Now leave."
But the stranger came closer.
"I am well pleased with you, Semele," he said.
Semele backed away.
"You know my name?"
"I know many things, loyal priestess, for I am the god you serve. I am the Sky Father, the king of Olympus, Zeus, the all-powerful."
Semele, still half in the river, gasped and fell to her knees.
"Come now," said Zeus, striding through the water towards her. "Let me look into your eyes." It was splashy, frenzied, and wet, but it was real lovemaking. When it was over, Semele smiled, blushed, laughed, and then wept, leaning her head on Zeus's chest and sobbing without cease.
"Don't cry, dearest Semele," said Zeus, running his fingers through her hair. "You have pleased me."
"I'm sorry, my lord, but I love you, and I know all too well that you can never love a mortal."
Zeus gazed down at her. The eruption of lust he had felt was all over, but he was surprised to feel the stirrings of something deeper, glowing like embers in his heart. A god who operated in vertical moments with no real thought for consequences along the line, he really did experience just then a great wellspring of love for the beautiful Semele, and he told her so.
"Semele, I do love you. I love you sincerely. Believe me now when I swear by the waters of this river that I will always look after you, care for you, protect you, honour you."
he cupped her face in his hands and bent forward to bestow a tender kiss on her soft, receptive lips. "Now, farewell, my sweet. Once every new moon I will come." Dressed in her gown, her hair still damp, and her whole being warm and bright with love and happiness, Semele walked back across the fields towards the temple. Looking up, a hand shading her eyes, she saw an eagle sweep and soar through the sky, seemingly into the sun itself, until the dazzle of it made her eyes water, and she was forced to look away.